5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Hello and welcome everyone to Truth, Beer, and Podsequences. So this is a podcast where my co-host and I listen to all the Cincinnati-based craft beer podcasts and watch all the media from the previous week, and then we get together at a podcast host, and today we are back. Higher Gravity.
Hand signals, guys. Come on.
Higher Gravity Summit Park. And hopefully there aren't too many consequences from the hosts of the other podcasts and craft beer media. And so far, this far into 2024... everything seems fine, I guess, so far.
But we're being watched very closely tonight.
Yeah.
So things
are also still slowly being poisoned.
Yeah.
Every single week.
Oh, that's true.
A little bit
that's
at a
right.
time.
That's right. Yeah.
That's true. That's right. So I am Marco. I'm a taproom manager and
there's
a brewer here locally. And one of the other voices you heard belongs to the best co-host in Podcastlandia.
It's not me. I'm not the best.
I mean,
not the best at all.
Wow, that was a fail. Well, I guess I'll take the title since no one else will. I'm Julia.
It was meant for you, but there were two other people here.
So. Yeah. And I like beer. I like talking about beer.
Okay. You like taking long walks in the rain to drink Bock beer?
I do like taking long walks in the rain to drink Bock beer. Yes. Yes.
Nobody else does, but you make us do it anyways.
Yes.
Julia is a strong lady with a platform that talks about craft beer, damn it.
Yes.
So,
and I will continue doing it.
Yeah.
Till the end of time.
Yeah.
Yes.
And one of those other voices, we have two guests, by the way.
Yes, we do.
One's a reoccurring guest, and... we're happy to have him. And the other one's the gnome.
But both reoccurring guests, technically.
Yeah. Happy to have both of you. We have the Gnarly Gnome, and we have Blake from the Brewery Explorer podcast, and from, is it the Miami Valley Craft
Beer Podcast? Yes.
Craft Beer Podcast.
Nice. Do we have a launch date for your first episode of the Miami Valley Craft Beer Podcast?
Well, the trailer just went out, but... Okay. I'm recording tomorrow, then we'll see when it launches. It's going to be my first time editing, so we're going to see how this goes.
Nice. Sounds
good. Within the next 6 months or so.
Yes. No. Yeah.
Ish. Just add an ish to the end of it all.
So later, 7 months from now.
I think I'm going to
forward to it.
How long did it take you guys to get your first episode out after you started recording?
Months.
It was almost 3 months, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. But I don't know how many. I mean, how many people take the route that we did, where we
that's the right way to do it. So, take your time with it and make sure. Unless you already have a podcast that you've done, like Blake does,
kind of know the process.
Yeah. We'll but, see how it goes.
I think we recorded the first episode of Cincy Brewcast and then had it out the next day.
Nice.
And it's not the right way to do it.
Still good.
So anyways, welcome everyone. So all the thoughts and opinions on this podcast are ours and ours alone. They do not reflect any entity which we may be affiliated with, such as full-time jobs or Higher Gravity. Now, that's for Julie and myself. The Gnome and Blake can speak for themselves or whoever the fuck they want to speak.
My thoughts and opinions definitely are representative of everyone that had sausage for Bockfest. All of the sausage purveyors are...
All of them.
Yeah, all of them. Everybody that had sausage. All of the sausage.
Every no buyers.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was I had a sausage at Northern Row.
What was the name?
We didn't talk very much.
Oh no. You want to talk about some craft beer content from this week?
What are we drinking?
We're not like Cincy Nutcast.
We're not like those fake ass craft beer podcasts where they just pretend they're drinking
and just talk about nuts.
Blake drinks on his podcasts.
Yeah,
and so do we.
Absolutely. So Blake, we'll start with you. What are you enjoying today?
I went to the cooler and I saw the strawberry mighty tasty street side. I saw it, but I haven't seen them out there. That's pretty good.
The peanut butter jam, whatever.
Is it a sour?
Yeah, it's sour.
Yeah, it's sour.
Nice. Very nice. No, we'll just kind of go around the table.
Rubus Cacao from Madry.
I've heard of this.
Yeah, I love this beer.
Very nice.
It's a seasonal. Raspberries, chocolate, stout. It's good.
Very nice. I have Third Eyes Third IPA.
It's an excellent choice, Julia.
Yeah. What do you have, Marco?
I have Third Eyes Third IPA.
Excellent choice. Great minds.
Thank you.
I did drink some of that the last time I was at Third Eye, which was to celebrate their world's largest beer float.
Yeah, tell us about that before we get into.
It was not as big as I was hoping it was going to be, but it was
like, wasn't it 9 liters?
It
or
was,
nine?
Yeah, it was pretty, 9 liters of beer, and then I don't remember how much ice cream, but it was hard to get it all to fit in the glass.
Was there, for it to be a Guinness World Record beer float?
It's not
float?
Officially a Guinness
well, right,
World
no,
Record
no, but what I'm, but what I was going to ask is, is there a specific ratio beer to ice cream that it has to be, or is it just like you could put all ice cream and then a can of beer and boom, you have a...
I think there was a ratio that they were shooting
for.
And that was that there had to be more beer than the one before and more ice cream than the one before.
That works.
As long as you have that, I think that they were good.
That works. Are you going
to... They were very technical about measuring how much beer went into that thing.
The video that they posted, I mean, they had like lines on the pictures and all that. It was incredibly technical. Was anyone from Guinness there?
The
Guinness Book of World Records, I guess I should kind of clarify.
Right.
No? Okay.
Not they contacted Guinness. Them and have to wait to hear back if it's accepted as a valid record. And then there's a chance that they might have to do it again with like a record proctor.
Someone
there.
Actually there to. Yeah. Okay. What I want to know next is that.
Who's going to do it next year?
No, that vessel.
Yeah.
When is Michael D. Morgan going to replace his schooner with that glass to drink out of on
Bruce excellent
on
question.
Guys, yeah.
Tom Argo did try to chug it afterwards.
Oh, hell
when everybody was done getting theirs.
How'd that go for him?
He said he was going to chug it, and he worked on it, and it didn't look like he consumed anything because there was still so much left in it. And at that point, there was a lot of ice cream that was melted in there with the beer. It was just very heavy.
So he's probably just getting
and,
more,
it would have killed Marco. Marco would have just...
Oh, Marco probably would die just looking at that amount of ice cream.
I would have been happy to be present, but I would have never ingested any of that.
Yeah.
Especially the bottom with all of the melted.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun. And I definitely drank some Third IPA that night.
Nice. Very, very nice. And that was up at Hamilton, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Other than that, I mean, that was a piece of craft beer content that
I don't
came
think that,
out.
Was it this last week? I don't know when that was.
Well, they were posting about this past week. So for a slightly longer form content.
Wow, my nickname.
Let's make
slightly longer.
Let's see if all of us have listened to all four pieces of content that we're going to be talking about today.
Okay.
We have, now Blake, if you haven't heard this one, it's okay. Just kind of make it up as you go along. We have season 2, episode 4 of the Brewery Explorers podcast.
I don't think I heard that one.
Don't think I heard that one. Oh, man. All right. Well, do your best when we touch on that one. All right. We have, I don't want to say a failed live, but we had a very delayed live episode of the Craft Parenting podcast.
Yeah.
I don't believe that one's hit podcatchers yet.
It has, I believe.
Oh, has it?
If I listen to the same thing.
It did.
Okay. Yeah, if it was like 18, 19 minutes. Okay.
Yep.
We have an episode of Cincy Brewcast where you talk to some people that we normally have content to talk about today, but they put out their episode late, so
it was late.
Missing out.
Came out like
today
at around noon or so.
Noon-ish. Yeah, and then we have last night, as we're recording this episode of the Weekly Pint.
Yes.
Yep. I listened to all that.
Excellent.
I'm in.
All right. Someone pick where we want to start.
Shouldn't Blake get to spin the wheel?
Yeah.
Sure. Blake, spin the wheel. He can spin the wheel. Blake, do you want to spin the wheel?
Sure.
Do you need to warm up?
Be careful.
The wheel, it's kind of heavy. You got
to warm up.
Yeah, got to stretch.
He is stretching right now.
Stretching. Do the rotator cuff thing.
Don't forget the glutes. Stretch the glutes.
He's doing lunges over there.
Your own glutes, not mine. Nope. Stop.
warrior pose.
Oh, there it goes.
Holy shit.
Oh.
That was pretty freaking awesome. Nice.
All right, Blake, where are you landing on?
You want to read off the wheel?
This is Cincy Brewcast.
Cincy Brewcast, excellent.
Cincy Brewcast.
Of course, we'll do that because that's what the wheel landed on.
Absolutely. Yes.
It's
what the wheel landed on.
It's the wheel.
This is Volume 9, Episode 26, Brewskis with Brew Skies on the Brewcast, which...
It's very hard to say.
It is, but I love the alliteration in it because it is phenomenal. I just want to say from the very beginning... Well, no, I'll save it for Weekly Pint. I'll save my comment. I have like a little extra note up at the top, but we'll save that one. You recorded at the Happy Holiday Inn. And what was fantastic about this episode is in the very beginning, Mike confirmed that he is one of our biggest fans.
Yes.
And hangs on to every single word that we say. He is the first to listen to every episode we put out. So, Mike, thank you so much.
He doesn't really Patreon because he feels like it would almost embarrass us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I understand. Mike, I'm just going to let you know. Go ahead and toss us a few bucks, buddy. I
tossed them a few bucks.
You know you want to do it.
Yeah. We'll just do the cyclical like podcast thing. Like,
right.
We give you money, you give us money, and it's just the same $5 bill that keeps going back and forth until the
Patreon
end of time.
Just scraping a little off the top.
I like the plastic over the window unit, the AC window unit.
Yeah, it's good. In the winter time.
You gotta cover that up
so there's no draft.
The bartender did come over right as we were getting ready to record. She's like, do you want me to turn this light on by the dartboard? I think that would look nice. Oh, yeah, it'd be real nice to turn it on. And then she came back another minute later. Do you want me to turn these little lights over here on? She turned the little fairy lights on. I'm like, oh, yeah, that is nice.
And, nice.
Yeah, it's a really great place to record.
That's awesome.
Really, really nice. People very quickly stopped playing the jukebox after we started recording, and
that's nice.
People were very friendly and very, very, very accommodating.
That's awesome.
Was it a Touch Tunes?
It was a Touch Tunes, yes.
So you could have actually.
It was the other brand, whatever the other.
Oh,
brand
okay, of, not Touch Tunes.
Yeah, not Touch Tunes, but same idea.
One of the biggest topics you touched on near the beginning is Jacques Beer, who owns
Garage Beer. Jacques Beer.
And the topic of bringing back cheap local macro beer, which I feel like we're starting to, like you guys are saying, starting to dabble in a little more now than we have in the past. We have a lot of lagers and all that, but we don't have that just, you know, $1.50 a can, just toss it back.
I don't know if it's going to happen.
It might not, but...
Good. It's close, and Cincy Light is doing a great job of kind of filling that space. It still isn't very cheap in can form, but it's pretty freaking cheap on draft when you go to a bar. It's like $3.50 for a pint.
Okay, that's fair. That's good. Fair.
That's acceptable to me as far as like a cheap light beer.
From there, you dove off into the biggest subject that you could possibly talk about in the craft beer realm. What is craft?
Yeah.
What makes craft? Is it the quality? Is it the quantity? Is it the experience? And those are always such fantastic conversations, no matter who you have them with. I feel like you could have that same conversation with the same group of people 6 months apart, and that's going to evolve.
Less than six months. You can go same week.
Sure. Yeah, that's true.
Depending on where I just was or where I'm headed to next.
We did it here at one of these tables. I said what I thought, and then Gnome said something. I was like, all right, I can move my opinion a little bit.
Sure.
I mean, I mean, some things are...
They're subjective. It's not going to be the same for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that some generalities still sort of stand out in a lot of the scenarios.
Yeah, but it still like definitely shifts and changes from day to day. Even like, you know, one day I feel like the beer itself is all that you need to make something craft. Mm-hmm. Then the next day I'm like, oh no, the beer doesn't even matter. It's about the people or the space or the feeling or this, you know, something else. And it's always shifting and changing.
Yeah, I do think one of the core. Kind of underlying, I don't even know how I want to word this, but what was said in your podcast, the intent of the brewer, the brewery, I do feel like that has to take a little bit of that fraction when you're talking about craft. Maybe? Okay.
But like, even then, when we talked, was it last week or 2 weeks ago with Paradise, and we talked about sour beer, like I've had sour beer that was not intentionally made the way it ended up, but it was really, really good.
I guess it also brings
There's still some kind of craft within that. You can accidentally craft your way right into something delicious.
I guess that does kind of change what that question or what that statement could mean to me. Is it their intent for the beer? Their intent for the space? I mean, it just keeps expanding. It's kind of like a black hole that... I don't think there is a right answer.
No, there's
at
not.
All,
that's what makes it so fun
fantastic.
To talk about.
Which is fantastic, yeah. And frustrating at some points, too.
Sure.
Like, I feel coming from the Dayton area, I feel like Dayton still has a lot of craft there because a lot of them have not expanded over. It's the only one that I can think of that has expanded is Warped Wing, but when you read like a
that's true. That's
but
true.
Warped Wing,
so there's craft beer in Dayton, huh?
But it also, but when you go to like the Dayton location of Warped Wing, it still feels crafty when you walk into that, and that, and like the Springboro one. I mean,
so is are there anything specific things that you look for when you are trying to determine is a brewer or even a singular beer craft or not? Or does that kind of change depending on
how they get all the different depends pieces? Depends on where you're at and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, again, no right answers at all. It's just it's a fun conversation to try to go down and see where everyone thinks. Because like Marco said, some of those make you go, oh, you're right. Like, again, for me, when I first heard the intent of the brewery, I was thinking more of how they wanted kind of their brand to feel, to be presented, not necessarily the beer, but then you brought up the you know, unexpected sour beer, and it's like, or is it the intent of the beer, and it's just, it just spiderwebs, it just fractures.
But I mean, you could even, you could, and not that we have this in Cincinnati, but you could have a brewery that's making macro lager, and doing really great macro lager, and it's in just a beer hall, like nothing special, nothing that you walk in like, oh, this is craft. But there's still craft to that. Like there's still something behind that that is craft, and it becomes very hard to kind of define.
Speaking of defining a dive bar.
Same thing.
Oh, exact same thing. Right.
There's a dive scale. The gnome has a dive scale. Mm-hmm.
Dive scale, and it started to make me think that I should have a craft scale too. But the fun part is, with a dive scale, you can tell people your dive score, and nobody cares. People would definitely care with craft score. You're four points more craft than those guys. That would piss people off.
Oh, that
would. So does goat yoga increase or decrease that craft score?
It decreases
score?
It.
Sure.
And on my scale.
And apparently, there was goat yoga at Rheingeist at Bonfest on Sunday. Did you see that? Yeah, I was just like, they did have it.
I think there was some down at Moorline too. I think.
Okay.
Yeah, there was definitely goat yoga.
Freaking goats ever. Decreased I know, like, where both are all of their craft scores that weekend. But that can be redeemed, right?
Oh, yeah. When you walk in on one day, your craft score could be very different than when you walk in
the next
day. So
what's the opposite and dive scale's the same spectrum way. Of goat yoga?
What's the like the most craft thing ever?
What's the most craft thing ever?
You walk in and somebody hands you like a mash paddle and says, we need your help right now. You need to come help make this world-class beer that is a medal winner.
You imagine walking into a brewery and like someone just runs out of the back, just all sweaty, and goes, I'm glad you're here. I need you. And then it just drags you to the back and then starts
our gold medal award-winning beer. It's just not going to come together without your help.
Right. And then you go back there and they need
clean
you
out this mash tun.
Shovel out the mash tun. Exactly.
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
This is amazing. Like, no, this is extremely important. Extremely important.
Not wrong. How terrified would you guys be if you walked into a brewery and, like, I'm up by one of the tanks, like, actually doing? So you'd be like, oh, shit, what is happening here?
I would say it's about damn time.
The beer's probably going to turn out good.
You've been around this scene long enough. Why aren't you making some beer?
I'd walk in and be like, you know what? Now that's craft beer.
Yeah. When you were talking about the mash tun when the 513 did the collaboration with the
Third Eye.
They asked for volunteers to clean that the mash tun. I was one of them that said, oh, that looks like fun. No.
It's not very fun.
No. It's like it looks fun at first for like 5 minutes or so, and you're
that's
like,
that's what
wait,
the new
how?
Guy and the volunteers do.
That's exactly what
I'm on now.
Yeah.
The volunteers do just quick photo op.
It probably didn't help because we all had brought our favorite bottles and barrel aged stuff. So
That might make it a little bit better because you don't realize how much hard work you're doing until
it's pain in the ass.
Until you pass out in the mash tank, then there's a whole different set of problems going on there.
Thanks, Zach Holly.
cell phones and technology ruining the bar vibe.
And children,
yes. I was actually going to leave that one out just because...
It was definitely in the conversation.
But it absolutely was.
Well, I used to be a child, and I tell you that...
I was not. I was never that lame.
it does change the vibe of a tap room, a bar, anything when you see a group of people and everyone, no one's talking.
Yeah, I think
they're all
phones.
On their
phones are definitely bad, but I disagree 100% about TVs. I think TV can create conversation, can kind of create more community, gives you something to talk about.
Right. I mean, how many times have we been sitting here or, you know, at you know, our old table before, you know, the ownership took it away from us? Not that I'm upset about that at all, but, you know,
they built you a lounge.
They did build us a lounge.
There's sofa loungers and like a cocktail table.
But we had a conversation about this a couple episodes ago. I'm afraid I'm going to spill my beer all over it, so I won't.
Yeah.
I won't partake in my beverage.
I'm afraid you would too.
Yeah, you're not wrong to do. I don't know. Even if I go to a place by myself and I'm not if I come into higher gravity, you know, on a Friday or on a day where I'm like, I'm just going to come here by myself, chill for a bit. I'm just going to sit and I'm like, I people watch. Like, I'm not sitting. Yeah. I might look at my phone to, like, you know, let Josh know, hey, you know, I'm heading out in a few minutes, whatever. But I like taking in what's happening around me.
What's how you engage with the technology, TV or your phone or whatever.
That's fair.
Even a book, you know, whatever that thing is that you've got that could be distracting you from the conversation around you.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't let it distract you from the conversation around you, it's different. Like,
true.
It's how you engage with it is what makes the difference with all of this.
That's fair. I'll take that.
And same with kids. If you're a good kid and you're hanging out in a bar and you're laughing and everybody's having fun and you're, you know, going and fetching spice nuts from the other end of the bar for people, now you're the star of the bar and everybody loves you.
Absolutely.
But if you're running into people and spilling their drinks, you're the jerk of the bar.
And the parents are parenting, right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I was at a brewery over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Vincent came with me. He's my brewery buddy. And we don't get out that much lately. But he keeps in his pocket zip top bags with either drawings or printed out pictures on them.
Uh-huh.
And he gave one to the bartender. The bartender had received one before, so he knew that it was an act of generosity.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two other people at the bar, and Vincent just jumped up. I didn't even see him because I was in my phone sharing Cincy beer events at the time.
Nice.
And
as you should.
Yeah. And Vincent gave one to each person at the bar, and then I heard one person go, "Thank you. I've seen you around at other breweries, and you've never given me anything. This is the first time you've given me." And
I looked over,
and I'm like, yeah, I recognize that guy from around town.
That's awesome.
I recognize that guy. So Vincent made someone's day just giving him a little picture or drawing or whatever it was.
That's
and,
so cool.
And he recognized Vincent from, you know, being around town. So that was kind of cool.
He's
an adult, but
it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter how old you are. It's again, how you are interacting or being allowed to interact with the rest of the clientele. Brett finally feels like he has a decent idea of what's happening in the craft beer market and in the beer scene. He is finally... The numbers are all starting to add up.
He figured it out. He got a spreadsheet. He had metrics. Mm-hmm. And, he did his, he gathered lawyer friends and, you know, people that he wrote about in his book. He's figured it out.
So he will be hosting a symposium where he is going to be providing all this information to all of the other craft breweries in the Cincinnati area and beyond, starting right after Missing Link Fest. Maybe at Missing Link Fest, actually.
And do a Ted-ish talk.
Yes. Brett's wine rant was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
So that
might be
was
the
interesting.
Best part of the entire episode because
who knew
my
that
God.
An attorney and a professor could put words together that well? And somebody who wrote a couple of books.
Yeah. And a very opinionated man.
Very
opinionated. And this is on the very.
I think he's just mad because he's only 5'5".
Still taller than me.
It's only coming from somebody who's 5'5".
I was called an Oompa Loompa at work today.
Stop it.
Yep, I was.
Do you want me to punch him?
I think that's racist.
It's something. But no, we were
against
talking about
Oompa
like
Loompas.
Height and whatever.
Yeah. You know what? I want to apologize to Oompa Loompas for lumping you in with Oompa Loompas.
One of Mike's favorite memories was Under the Full Moon when it comes to wineries.
Yes.
That was amazing.
That's correct.
Also got me content for the next 6 months of things to do.
Yeah.
But how many wineries?
That's why I asked about the short form. River. Short form
yeah,
content.
Yeah,
earlier.
I,
when the moon is we'll talk about like it. A big
if
pizza
you do
pie.
It, that's gnome's ass now.
That's right.
We got a publish and a release date for their book,
how
10
about
in
that?
Cincinnati.
Yeah. Hey, congratulations.
Yay! Publish date is May the 6th, and the release will be Missing Link Day, which is incredibly appropriate, and I hope that they were able to pick that. I'm pretty sure you can the way things work
anymore,
sure. But
that's
absolutely
is that the way
phenomenal.
It went with your last book, Noam?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. Released it right when I wanted to.
I'm still waiting for my signed copy, by the way. You keep forgetting it. I do have a multiple choice question for this episode.
Okay.
Yes. Before we get to that, does anyone else have any other notes, topics, conversation that they want to have about Volume 9, Episode 26 of The Cincinnati Brook? Oh, shit.
Uh-oh.
I wasn't paying attention. I fucked that one up. Or there was a drop or two.
Yeah. Well, I got some.
I have one question.
Yes.
What's your favorite dive bar? If you could pick one.
Oh, Jesus.
You guys want to go first? I can look up my highest dive score.
See, I don't go to a lot of dive bars, so I think it would have to be that one that was next to BC's Montgomery that we went to.
Oh, my God.
Montgomery Town Tavern.
Yes. Yes. Although
I went to Sandy's Stagecoach more than once.
Although the Miamiville Tavern.
I'm going to say Sandy's.
Okay. The Miamiville Tavern where Jangle's birthday party was.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was really cool. So that might be. I'm going to change mine to the Miamiville Tavern.
Okay.
How about you? Do you have a favorite?
There's a place up in Tip City, Ohio called Hunger's. It's definition of a dive bar. But
nice.
It's good when you walk in and stuff like that. But the food is absolutely amazing. The beer is always good.
Oh, I'm not
that's the fun
food.
Thing about food is it could either be like stellar.
I could scarf down some dive bar hot dogs.
What was the place that we went in Kentucky before wrestling?
Oh,
the Ludlow
Tavern's the other one.
Yeah, well, it's across from the place that flooded and washed away with the big shark on the sign.
Yeah, that's...
God damn it. The Bromley Inn. Across from where Bromley Inn
was. It's called...
God dang it.
It's on my list here somewhere.
I don't know. So I guess I have been to, like, more than one, but...
I've also been to ones that are still cash only. I don't like those at all. Especially if you don't know about it at
right,
first, and they
do
don't
go in
the Lagoon Saloon.
The Lagoon Saloon, yes.
No, there was a bar in Troy that no one warned me. I went with the friends. I ordered drinks, and I gave them a card. They said, "Oh, there was nothing on the bar saying the cash only." I said, "Well, you're gonna have to take that all back because I'm not gonna be able
right,
to do
not
it.
Not gonna be able to do it." Yeah, some of those places, and I speak in general terms, will have like ATMs in there that charge like. Astronomical fees to use them, but yeah, I feel
your
like
bank just refund fees that ATMs charge.
Sometimes,
isn't that like
yeah,
a thing
a
with all the banks now?
Yeah,
I don't know if that is or not, but
I know
I guess
it was
out of
some
227 bars that I have given dive scores to. Oh yeah, I've got a thing going on.
Apparently so.
The highest scoring one in Cincinnati, and this does not mean it's my favorite bar. It's pretty close, but it scored the highest is Dunlap Cafe in OTR.
Okay.
Followed very closely behind by McDog's Lakeside Saloon over in Coleraine.
Is that where you're feeding fish Twinkies?
Nope, that is that's Baker's.
Okay.
That's number seven Twinkies on the list.
Apparently there was a story.
Happy Halloween is number six
okay.
on the list.
Okay. All right, multiple choice question, and then we have some people that need to get some more beer.
All right.
What should you feel the first time you go into a dive bar? Is it A, ignored? Is it B, uncomfortable, or is it C, welcomed?
Or is it D?
Blake's bringing the D.
You have a D.
Slapping it around.
What's option D?
What's option D?
Oh, I don't know.
He just wanted to whip it out.
All right, take a quick break, get some more beer, and then we'll be right back with the next three podcasts. Back. And after that, we are finally...
It's about how you use your IPA.
Back. We have the Brewery Explorers, Craft Parenting Podcast, and the Weekly Pint. And Blake, do you want to spin the wheel again, or do you just want to just pick one out of those three?
Let's do Craft Parenting next.
All right.
I got another beer. I feel like you should ask me about it.
I apologize.
That's okay.
I am not the best podcast host in Podcastlandia.
Yes, you are.
Because I forgot to do that because... all three of you have new beers, yep. And I didn't say a damn thing about it. So, Marco, you're to my right. You're my right-hand man, literally. So,
I have Masthead IPA.
Fantastic. I love their jalapeno version of that.
I don't think I've had either one.
Okay. Blake, what are you enjoying?
I'm having Black is Everything by Esoteric Illmatic, which
so
I'm excited because when I had the Illmatic episode, we talked about it, and they said they actually shoved some of this into a barrel.
Ooh, nice. And Mr. Gnome?
Turbo Reaper! God, it's so fun to say.
Is it
from Three Floyds.
Is it as metal as...
I haven't tried it yet.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
Looks pretty metal.
Does it? Oh, it looks metal.
Ooh,
huh?
It smells metal.
Okay, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it smells hoppy.
All right.
Hoppy.
Tastes
metal.
Like lead.
Yeah.
Oh.
Here's liver with some fava beans.
That's nice good. Kiyaki. That's fine.
All right.
It's a little soft.
A little bit soft.
A little soft.
That's right. What I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Craft Parenting Podcast.
Feel like you guys poured me the wrong beer. This is all Turbo and no Reaper.
Episode 155, Bockfest 2024 Shenanigans, which there weren't a ton of shenanigans.
Way too few shenanigans.
Way too few shenanigans, though they were pre-gaming Bockfest beers before going down to Bockfest.
Which is so, completely I mean, valid, for the record.
Good
I
job.
Know they said it was a bad idea.
Oh,
it's exactly
no.
what you're supposed to do.
My exact notes, pre-gaming Bockfest is a phenomenal idea.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Part of
great idea.
Yes, yes. Joe was very undressed in this episode compared to other episodes.
Yep. Lack of the cardigan is not acceptable.
No, definitely not. Definitely not at all.
Nobody wants to see those pasty elbows.
No. I feel like at the beginning of their episode, they have a countdown now. They start with a countdown.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I feel like there should also be a loading cardigan.
That would
thing.
Be amazing. That's great. That would be amazing. Joe's in marketing. I'm sure he could find a way to make that happen.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Although that might be more graphic design. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. As is obvious by this entire episode so far, the Bock Beer 5K. I hate that it is no longer called the Bock Fest 5K. Yeah. I don't know if there's a reason behind it.
There's
probably
definitely a reason
is.
Behind it.
All right.
Shout out to SinBev.
Yeah.
But why would they not want, I don't know.
They got to pay for the sponsorship for it if they want their name on it.
Yeah, I guess so. But why wouldn't you want that? It's
Cincinnati. Why would you, if you don't need to pay for it, why would you?
For the love of the city. I don't know. I have no good retort to
yeah,
that
much
because
stuff
no, you're
they're
right.
doing for the love
oh,
of
God,
the city.
Oh, God, yes, yes.
They're doing incredible
yes,
things.
They're
there.
Doing very, very, very good things. So Joe was putting the beer sponsor on blast for having IPAs there, but then Caroline said, actually, I had it, and I don't think it was an IPA at all. So
yep.
Joe needs to check his facts before
it was probably Doom Petal, right?
That would be...
It was probably all 50 West beer that was
that's,
probably...
That's my guess,
the,
yeah.
I assume.
That's what I would guess as well.
So they
I don't
probably
know.
Had their,
I do
their lager, Doom Petal, and their Bock.
Right.
Here's the thing that you're not taking into account. The reason Bock was gone is because they probably bought about the same amount of each of them,
mm-hmm.
and everybody drank a ton
of
Bock really
yes.
fast, which is great.
Yes.
That's what we want. It's also, the booths were set up in the park, which means that it's the parks that are buying the beer. They're setting up a booth. They're buying the beer. They have a permit to put the booth mm-hmm. together. They bought X amount of beer. It's gonna get drunk. That's the
sure.
whole point of it, is for all of it to get drunk.
Right.
And
it's gotta go away.
There's nothing for them to do with it, with whatever is left over. It just yeah. it goes back to the distributor and goes undrunk.
And you can shimmy your pasty elbowed non-cardigan wearing self right over to Moorline and get a Dora cup of whatever you want. And there's Bock beer huh. and
yeah.
plenty
I was
of things.
Say, how many Bock beers did Moorline have?
Like 26 or something.
Yeah, I was gonna say they had like either all of them or almost all.
Almost
of them.
All of them.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. So yeah,
I think Ryan guys had like 20 of them.
Yeah, it was
20 or 21, something like that. Yeah, okay. yeah, they had a. Great selection up there.
Actually, it was close. A whole bar of almost all Bock, although there was Truth.
There well, and
Truth
bubbles.
And bubbles.
And bubbles.
From that bar.
Well, you can't, you just can't not serve.
But guess Truth. What I saw Never. Nobody ordering?
Truth.
Truth mm-hmm. or bubbles.
Yep.
They were down in Bock beer.
Yes.
To their own.
All the Bock beer.
To their own detriment.
When we were waiting in line to get our first Bock beers after the 37-mile hike from the end of the Bockfest parade to Rheingeist,
mm-hmm. In the rain.
In the cold, in the rain, yeah. Uphill both ways, yeah. Absolutely terrible. It wasn't that bad.
Broken bottles for shoes.
There was a group of people from 13 Below that were up by the bar.
Oh, I saw them.
They were so excited. So there, I think it was all in alphabetical order from the brewery.
Wait a minute. They sat in alphabetical order?
No, the
according
beers.
According to their last names?
No, the Bock beers on the,
oh,
the
I
big
was like,
board.
Who's
no,
ever been
no, no,
out
no.
in a group where you sat in alphabetical order?
I always
when
try
you
to.
Not?
When you're
right,
not in grade school.
I always try to.
Yeah. The people from 13 Below saw that their Bock was number one, like tap number one.
Because it started with a one.
I don't know that they realized that, but they were so excited. They're like, we're number one. Like, this
nobody,
is great. Like,
nobody tell
the,
them.
It was great seeing how excited they were. I loved it. I loved it for them. Let's see. Joe and Caroline do not like sharing their food with their kids.
Who does?
Who does?
That's true. That's why you don't have kids.
I put hot sauce on everything. Know. Teaches them a lesson.
There's even a portion of time where you finish your kids' food.
Oh, yeah. That's
the
best part. Do you know how many chicken nuggets I get to eat?
Tons.
Oh, you're not going to eat that last chicken nugget? That's dad tax. Give me that.
Wait a minute. You're not going to finish that California roll? Let me have that.
You're adults. You can just buy your own. You can buy and eat however many chicken nuggets you want. You don't need kids for that.
Freebies from somebody else always taste. I guess they're not free.
I was going to say,
guess
you're still buying them.
They always taste better, though, when it's not your nugget.
They talked about all the different Bock beers that they've had so far. And you get a possibly not quite accurate history of Bock Fest and Bock beer from Joe.
Sure.
His truth. It was about a 19-minute episode, so that's kind of all that I have, other than I did do a sip count.
I think we beat their... I think our recap's longer than their episode.
Probably. Well, not if I cut out all the, like, kid food sharing part.
For
like, some of it.
Patreon?
For the Patreon, yeah.
It's or all like parenting stuff. Well, I was trying to stick with the parenting theme.
Number of sips for this episode.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to hear this one.
19 minutes-ish.
Mm-hmm.
They were sharing a single can of Westside's Bock because they were heading down to Bock Fest immediately following their recording.
I'm going
to
go under one pint.
I think that's...
But remember, our drinking game is...
Oh, no. If this is like three pints, I'm going to have some words.
Okay. All right. Okay. They had 15 sips.
Oh, okay.
Which, that's if you're 30, playing our drinking ounces. Game, jeez. you, the people playing...
Their can of beer means we have to drink 30 ounces of beer? This is ridiculous.
1.875 pints. Yeah. Because the game isn't how much they drank, it's how much you have to drink because of their drinking.
It's just them sipping their way through one can means I have
which
to drink
Caroline
2 pints.
Caroline didn't even finish hers because apparently she had to wrangle a child that was
which is
knocking
the
camera out of her.
It's definitely part of the show.
It's perfect. It was the parenting
and then she had to, and
Bock.
She had to go get into her German garb with the dirndl and girdle and the wooden shoes and everything.
Yeah. I don't know why their son was not
running
preoccupied more with his trains that he was watching. I don't know why didn't
you should
keep
him send him some train photos that you have.
Yeah. Should. Does he have a phone? Somebody have his phone number also?
Caroline, does he have a phone? Because Gnome has some photos he wants
a
to
promise.
Share with him.
All right. Do we want to move on to the Brewery Explorers or the Weekly Pint?
No, let's get as far away from Thomas the Tank Engine as we can.
All right. So Brewery Explorers it is.
Sure.
This was a season 2, episode 4. We'll be Bock.
Bock where? Oh,
with
now I'm confused.
Very confused. It was a kind of a confusing title.
That was
with Adam Mills, Director of Brewing Operations at Sonder Brewing.
That's right.
Absolutely fantastic that you guys got to talk with Adam. He is putting out content every single freaking day.
Perfect opportunity to tell everyone to go and seek out Adam Makes Beer, his YouTube channel. Go and one of his live streams, his live Q&A is coming out.
Link to his channel in the show notes.
Well, we have to.
Now you'll have to remember.
He sponsors Truth Beer Pod. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Actually, as this podcast posts, it would have happened 2 days ago. As Cincy Beer Events posts, it happened that night. But
yes.
He does a monthly Q&A episode,
mm-hmm.
and then a monthly Brewer to Brewer episode, and then he publishes a clip from one of those every single freaking day, people.
Yep.
Go and get your content from Adam Makes Beer. Adam, you're going to be on the pod one day. Love to have you as a guest.
Absolutely.
He's great to talk to.
Yeah. First note that I had, happy belated birthday
to you,
Blake.
Yeah, Blake. What's it like to finally be 2022?
Great. I'll take that number.
You guys started the episode with a recap of what you've been up to since the last recording, which was a lot of fun. There were beer events. There were just new breweries that have been tried. So I really like that kind of newer intro. I feel like that hasn't been a part of some of the other episodes you guys have done. So really liked just kind of
talk about sourdough.
Lots of sourdough.
Sourdough.
All the sourdough.
Way to keep vetting and working out the opening banter.
Yeah.
Good job there.
Yeah, fantastic. You guys talked about being exposed to the Cincinnati skyline for the first time, or rather more Adam being exposed to it. I mean, you were just trying to figure out how your family was.
Yeah, but ours goes on spaghetti
too
in my house.
This is
you
true.
Just make a big pot of chili and then you put it in the fridge, and each day you put it on some more spaghetti and heat it up for the kids.
Yeah, Adam made the mistake of just asking for a bowl of chili, realizing what it was.
Yeah, it's like, this isn't like Texas chili or all that. It's
as a person who's not native to Cincinnati, I thought that was hilarious and accurate.
Did you ever do that?
No, I didn't do that, okay. But I do, and don't at me. Or at me. I don't give a fuck.
Now I gotta at you.
Yeah. I don't give a fuck.
Is Facebook working? Because I don't know if I can at you.
Yeah, true.
I had.
He's on
finally,
Twitter.
I had
X.
Adam on X.
Yeah, I did have Skyline twice, Gold Star once. I just want to tell you, I don't get it. I don't get any of it, and I don't want it.
We got to go to this, Marco, just a little bit. Got to explore this.
Okay.
You've had it a few times. Mm-hmm. What have you tried?
From Skyline?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it wouldn't have been
The spaghetti noodles with the...
It's called a three-way or a four-way or something.
Well,
you don't just call it spaghetti noodles. That's not
I don't have onions. I don't have cheese.
I was going to say, he had a missionary style because he can't do cheese. He can't have a three-way.
Yeah. You're doomed.
Yeah.
You're doomed from the beginning. And, cheese is a critical part.
Oh, it absolutely is.
And it... It didn't sit well with me.
Well, it's not supposed to. It's not supposed to. That's part of it.
It's part of like the cleansing ritual.
Oh, there were this some ritualistic things going on there.
That's normal.
I did a lot of praying that I was out of practice on.
Yeah.
It's like going to Taco Bell or Waffle House.
Exactly. Nailed it. it's about the same as those.
Yeah.
Cheese is very important to Skyline.
Yes.
Yes, I say Skyline. There is no such thing as Cincinnati chili that has the word Gold Star in it. It's not Cincinnati chili. It's terrible.
It's not even a Bronze Star.
Nope.
It's a Brown Star.
No stars for you.
No star.
Get a burger if you go there.
Kind of interspersed throughout the entire episode. I'm trying to rein it back in as best as I can. There were deep dives into all the beers that you guys had in the beer flight. You had Voss, William Bach, You Betcha, and Family...
William Goat.
William Goat. Goat. Why do I have Bach written down? Because, again, I don't know what I'm doing.
He is a Bach beer, but he's...
Yes. Well, he, goat. He is a goat.
And he likes to party.
He is not a Bach. He does like to party.
So it is a slightly
And then the Family
formal,
Tradition, double barrel-aged barley wine.
Oh, that Family Tradition was so good.
Mm-hmm. They absolutely... I still have one bottle left of the vanilla, I think, in my fridge.
The one you gave me.
I gave the
banana barley one.
No, I gave you the base. You talked about how Adam got into beer and how Adam makes beer content that Empire basically started up, which is a lot of fun. I do love how multiple podcasts will talk to similar people, similar breweries, but the conversations are all very different.
Yeah,
you get to learn new stuff with everyone that comes out.
Yeah, we've talked about... not just Adam and Adam Makes Beer. We've talked about it before. A lot of this stuff is overlapping, but some of the different pieces that you don't collect from the other times we've talked or the other places he's been talking about.
Right. I mean,
his stuff is cool to pick up from here.
Right. I mean, kind of prime example of multiple people interviewing kind of the same person. Elijah, he was on like 13 different episodes over the course of like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And every single one of those conversations was different. From Craft Parenting Pod, you got to hear more of his deep dive into barley wines. In Cincy Brewcast, it was more about his home brewing. And us, well, he just fucked around with us and we just had a good time. We didn't
just tie people to railroad tracks.
We just tied people to railroad tracks, exactly. A very cool conversation about if more home brewers or brewing college graduates are getting into the industry. I really like that question because it is an interesting potential shift, because it used to be you homebrewed and then that's how you got into it. But now there are actual college programs and degrees.
There's a lot of people that are getting into the industry that have never homebrewed.
Right.
Which is crazy.
I feel like you should have that.
I don't know that you should.
I think it would have to help.
I'm sure it would help.
A little bit of that.
I don't think you have to.
You don't have to, but it, coming from the homebrew space and then up to the commercial space, what I would say is building a base knowledge from a homebrew standpoint is one thing, but then going and building a base knowledge in a schooling standpoint is another way to go about almost the same thing.
Right. If you're learning to brew in a classroom on some kind of a system, where that, yes, there's things that don't go right, but versus on your own in your garage on a little Kegel system or something, I think that there's a difference there. When something goes wrong, being by yourself and just like thrown into, oh crap, I got to figure this out right now, versus
there is 100%
versus, oh class, now what do we do to solve this problem? And there's some smart ass that knows the answer.
No, I mean, on it's not just brew day, but anything that happens, you may have to be, makeshift hardware, tools. You may have to try to patch pumps, or just get something to get it to the end.
You ever fashion a mash paddle out of toothpicks?
It's ridiculous where you have to be essentially your own lifeline. There's a lot of practice that homebrewers just sort of get conceptually.
Right.
And I'm not saying one's right versus the other. Get in the business with whatever way you want to get in. The only other thing I'd say is, if you're going to get in the business, get paid.
100%.
Don't, let's say, intern for free. There is no free work. You should not be doing free work.
Nope.
Because what ends up happening is, if you end up wanting
that's
to...
That's now your value.
That's not your value. It's not.
But that's the way they will see your value.
Exactly. So
speaking of getting into the business, you guys talked with Adam about Sonder's second location.
Yes.
Oh yeah, we're talking about
this. Yeah, yeah. See what I'm good at that too sometimes, reining things back in a bit. You guys said that, well, I guess Adam really talked to you guys about how one of the biggest perks of the second location is sharing a parking lot with Duluth.
Oh,
you can get new socks and underwear.
Gotta get them underwear.
And Bass Pro, exactly.
And they're open, right?
Yes, they just.
Bass Pro's open now. Yeah.
Who went?
I have
not gone.
Julia?
I have not gone to Bass Pro.
Okay. You'll know. There'll be a video when I go.
He'll be in the tank.
And are you in the tank? Yeah. And then fall out?
I'll be somewhere. Somewhere drinking.
Find the gnome. Good God.
Is there a bar there?
I don't know. I've been.
I just thought
but
that would be
it. Right across the parking lot.
That's where Saunders should have went. Just went in with Bass Pro Shop and have a little bar and
Yes. Saunders Fish Bar.
I need a
bar.
Fishing pole and a beer. How can I? Oh, okay. This works.
Perfect. Perfect. Exactly. Adam gave you guys kind of a scoop on the newest Kings Island collaboration. It is going to be a line of salads, which is a very deep cut. For anyone that has listened to Saunders Stories, may that podcast rest in eternal hiatus.
It's a deep cut there.
Very, very deep cut.
Shout out to Olivia from Kings Island.
Hell yeah.
Yes. Isn't that her name?
Best,
she was great.
Best guest
she was
on
great.
Saunders Stories ever. Love
She's still
that
with
one.
The Kings Island, I wonder? Can we get her on the pod?
I don't know.
We'll have to send an email.
I call her first. I want a Kings Island show.
That's fair. You guys got to break the news that Sonder is going to have a fruit beer festival in July, which is incredibly exciting.
Excellent.
I love that so much. Keep an eye on their social media page for details. I don't think they posted anything at all about it yet. I don't think that I've seen anything. So
the only thing they
love
talked
you guys
about
breaking
is,
that news.
Is the food.
There was some Sonder and Friends Oktoberfest talk, which, man, I love that Oktoberfest.
I'm looking
forward to that again. It's fantastic. You mentioned Saunders Stories a little bit, which was before Adam's time, but you guys were in the Saunders Stories studio.
Yeah, I mean, the mics were set up. It didn't look like they were used in a while, but...
They were very dusty.
Dusty, I was just going to say, brush the dust off. Oh, makes
I
me
love
sad.
How great Adam just flowed with the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
With the, a lot of things that were brought up before his coming on to the company, but he just ran with it. And... It's not like he made it up. He knew these things that
he's done
talked
his research
about.
Into the company. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that as a person in the craft beer scene, he probably did go back and listen to Saunders Stories.
I'm sure he was listening to it the whole time. If you're interested in content creation, he was working right over there at Cartridge. Like, of course he was paying attention.
Yeah.
It was a great episode. Loved it. You guys got to talk to him. Mm-hmm. Excited to see what the next episodes coming out are. And for the Miami Valley Craft Beer Podcast, because it's not going to be super Cincinnati focused, we might not recap all the episodes, but we will definitely listen and keep an eye out for when we can touch on that to help promote what you're doing. I think it's fantastic.
And when the highlights.
Yeah, yeah. I do have a multiple choice question, so does anyone have anything else to say about this episode before we...
So it was a fun episode. It just makes me love what Sondra is doing and what Adam is doing so much more. Like, I just, every time I listen to him, I fall in love with him. Love the dude.
Bro crush?
Yeah, definitely bro crush.
Well, there you go. All right. Multiple choice question for season 2, episode 4 of the Brewery Explorers podcast. What is the first beer that Adam is going to be able to drink?
Yeah.
Is it A, You Betcha?
Mm-hmm.
Is it B, Jeff's Jams Volume 6? Mm-hmm. Or is it C, Dunkel?
Or is it D, Julia?
Ooh.
Ooh. Dang. Wow, how about that? Or is it Family Tradition Homewrecker Edition?
Oh. The D. Always brings the D.
Always. Marco, you need a beer. We'll be right back. Gnome, this one's all you.
Forget world record beer floats. You guys are setting a world record podcast today.
This actually isn't our longest, but yeah, it's...
Hey,
now. That's what she said.
Quite literally what I said.
Yeah, that's what she said. It was very hurtful
to Marco. But we have made it.
Bach!
Bach!
Yes!
And nobody all did right. it with me, though, so it still
wanted,
didn't work.
I wanted you to have all the glory for this one because you keep missing out. So yeah, I was trying to give you...
We just gave you the lane for the glory.
I just want to be synchronized with you guys.
All right, are we going to try this again?
Okay, I'm ready.
One. So one, two, three,
and then we
back.
Do it. All
right. Right, so not on three, but three, then...
I'm saying back or Bach?
Bach. Let's just stick with that. Okay. Yes. One, two, three, Bach!
So you went really fast, though. You said it was going to be...
I know.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Bach.
Yeah.
Back. I'm confused.
Next week will be your week.
So I'll get it.
It's fine. It's fine.
One of these days.
Speaking of All Things Gnome, the Weekly Pint, episode 205, there were goats, loggers, and a whole bunch of...
Zach Holly.
Didn't see Zach Holly at all.
Well, in the episode of the Weekly Pint.
I saw him a lot in the Weekly Pint.
Yeah. Not going to name names, but someone screwed you over on the beer that you wanted to drink.
Yeah.
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 Caroline.
Yeah, so someone did listen to Cincy Brewcast.
It's the same day. It drops on Mondays. I get it. Like, it's difficult.
Priorities.
So you guys now know 3-2. It's now bumped to 3-2. 3-2 next week. First person picks 3. Second person picks 2. And then I get to drink the beer that I want to drink.
I tried,
very
but apparently
simple.
I was just...
Yeah,
all right, let's just set this up right now.
Okay.
All right, so... Julia?
You have to wait till after I ask people to give numbers, though.
Numbers. Okay.
We gotta do this the right way.
I'm going to give Caroline. I'm going to give her the opportunity to make up for this. Okay. Julia, you're going to do the 3.
Okay.
Caroline, you're going to do the 2.
Okay.
We got it? Set? All right. Ready?
Break.
Set, match, break. Let's do this.
Okay.
All right.
Just want to drink the beer.
We got a couple of labels from 50 West and Sam Adams.
Adams is the one that I'm excited about.
I know. Oh. Rebel IPA.
I really want to drink a Rebel IPA right now.
I mean, I'm sure that if we break into the brewery, they might have some.
I don't know if they've made it here. I don't know if it's actually
being
produced here.
That's true.
Technically, the label says that it could be produced here, but...
It doesn't necessarily mean.
It really
okay. Soft IPAs.
Flaccid IPAs.
Oh. That was a bit of a conversation there. Bring back clear and bitter.
Why is it so hard? IPAs. Why is it so difficult?
It's not.
It's
the way most of us were trained.
Yeah, it's just make them for us. Like I don't know what's happening in the world around us.
The only thing I can think of is the softer IPAs are more.
They sell better.
Right. They're more
sell better than what?
They're more
sell better than
hard IPAs
for people that are like, I want to drink IPA because it's a very big style. But man, this is hot.
I want to drink IPA, but I don't really like IPA.
Exactly.
I feel like it sell better.
I take issue with this in the sense of I don't care how many taps you have unless you have just two. If you have 10, 12, 16,
that'd be a funny
24.
Brewery.
Two taps.
But my point
whatever
is,
you got.
A nice,
light
clear,
and dark.
A nice, clear West Coast IPA. If it's not your number one selling beer, I get it, because your number one selling beer is probably going to be something yellow and fizzy that you make. So that's fine. But after that, it's going to be something clear and bitter or something hazy and soft.
So then why is it so much hazy and soft? Like why is everything hazy and soft?
I think
it sells better. It's the only reasoning I can come up with.
But on a tap list that has 10 taps, do you need more than one?
IPA?
Hazy soft.
Soft IPA.
No. But I'm saying like
But
if you have, say you have two IPA taps and one is hazy and soft and one is clear and bitter, and like it's selling 3-1 clear and soft or hazy and soft,
maybe
the other
one
thing starts
too.
To drift more towards the hazy and soft side.
I don't think it needs to, but
if it sells better, that's all people care about anymore.
Yeah.
Or that's all some people care about anymore.
No, not if you can move it at a decent clip. I mean, it's fine.
It should be, but that's not what we're seeing.
But isn't the number one selling beer at Rheingeist, isn't that better? Or is that not close enough?
Number one selling beer right now is probably Cincy Light.
Cincy Light.
Well, I meant the
Truth.
Truth.
Yeah, but Truth was never like super clear and bitter. I mean, there is...
Truth was extremely bitter, and I don't know if it was very clear, but it was extremely bitter. It was like aggressively... bitter, and then it has changed over, let's say, 10 years. Or
supposedly unintentionally. Stay tuned to Cincy Brewcast. There's some fun content coming about that.
All right, because we have limited time, we'll switch to talking about High Grains Brentwood location.
Which is
opening soon-ish. I believe, the Inquirer or Business Courier or whatever, that, you know, of course, behind a paywall, like, they're coming along, everything's moving along, their doors will be opening so soon. I think they're shooting for late April
is what they hope for the tap room. However, they should be brewing there sooner than that. And if I can figure out what day all of that equipment is moving,
yes, I was just gonna say
I'm gonna be there.
I want to see 15 tanks rolling down the street.
On
flatbeds, like not like on their
in
own.
The caravan.
That would be,
so yeah. help us clarify. I think we understand, but. All the brewing equipment from High Grain's original space is supposed to go to the new space.
This is my understanding. I have not gotten them to sit down for a show yet,
leaving something back at the original space
I don't think so. I think everything that is currently in that space goes to Brentwood. I think they're putting in a smaller brew house.
Ah, very good.
In the old space. But I think everything that's there is coming over to the new spot. I think. That's my understanding, just kind of looking from the outside in. Let me make this very clear. If they would book an episode of Cincy Brewcast with me, we could sit down and clear all of this up and make it so we understood exactly what was happening.
Patreon, so they all listen.
Of course. This is their favorite show.
Yeah absolutely. Nine Giant expanding their tap room and their kitchen.
Yeah, they just plowed right through the wall like the Kool-Aid guy.
Yeah, no kidding. Twice, according to the picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very nice.
Oh, yeah.
More macho man.
He also plows through walls.
Macho off?
Ooh.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Hang on. I gotta take a sip of beer. Hang on.
Hold on.
So, Mark, do you want to go first then?
No, we do guests first. Blake, you going to be ready? The macho off?
Sure.
I need a Slim Jim. Can I get a Slim Jim?
I don't think they have those here. So you're going to have to... Oh. Damn.
All right. Blake, go.
What am I supposed to do? I'm sorry.
You remember the Macho Man Randy Savage?
Macho Man.
All right. That is not exactly the thing we were looking for, but see, he's a wrestler and he slim gems and he plowed through the wall.
I was thinking of the song. Sorry.
I accept that. It was fantastic. It was a good impression. I'm a little distracted now. That was pretty good. Oh yeah.
Marco, take a sip.
Oh, yeah, I'm Macho Man. I'm here at Higher Gravity, yeah. And I'm here to take and I'm going to drink you down.
I didn't know we were allowed to add other embellishments to it.
Do you want
to
go again?
Did I put any restrictions on you?
I thought we were just kind of, okay, it's fine.
I sang, so, you know.
Blake did sing, which was amazing.
I didn't think Blake like, wins.
Macho man.
Thank you, Terminator Day.
You're macho man.
Or, usually as Homer Simpson would say, Nacho Man.
Nacho man. Yep.
That was all kinds of amazing. Yeah.
Thank you.
We're all going to try out for American Idol.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. I don't want to do that.
What makes a brewery bad? It was a question posed by Zach.
As far as what makes a brewery bad, I mean, I think what you need to do, it's very subjective. But with Zach, who tries to, you know, have some sort of a pulse on what's happening, I would just say keep your ears and your eyes open. And if you find things that you find aren't aligning with things that you believe in,
Yeah, it's good.
Whether it's from a social, political, or even a beer standpoint, then make your choices. That's up to you. I'm not going to tell you, other than BrewDog, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you who you shouldn't, support.
Founders.
Shouldn't support or drink from. That's up to you.
Yeah.
And even if
Sapporo.
Even Still if
America's first craft brewer.
Yeah. Sapporo.
Good job, guys.
Yeah. Way to fucking go. Even if we have opinions, you still form your own.
Sure.
That's the part about it is we can not like, we can not support, we can even move to the level of take action against personally. We aren't gonna call you to action for that stuff. But you figure it out for yourself. Blake?
I got a couple of things on this.
Yeah, go ahead.
In your hand. So, first things first, when it comes to this, because I do the Ohio on tap, too.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to breweries on this Ohio on tap that there's not a single brew thing there. And they don't even have brew. It was like, oh, my God, why are you on this thing? Mm-hmm. And two, if you walk into a tap room and you see people drinking Budweiser, but, like, more than Modelo. The beer they make... It's like that's a question mark of what they're doing.
So I'll put a little maybe to that last statement because are they drinking? Okay, so first and foremost, if it is an actual brewery, they make their own beer, but they're also offering Bud Coors, a macro beer. Mm. Why are they offering that? Is it because they know that their product
it's
isn't that
they're
good,
a strip
or
club.
Because it's a strip club? Or is it because they're like, we know people will buy this, so we want to bring people in, and if they drink this macro, then we can convert them to our beer instead of just saying, if you want to come here,
I don't care.
We just have our beer.
I don't care what brewery you are. If you put macro beer on tap, it will become your best seller.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
If you sell Bud, Miller, Coors, Keystone, whatever,
it will
quickly become your best seller.
Absolutely.
That's what most people want to drink.
Well, the other
you're
thing
not
is,
catering to most people as a craft brewery. That's right, not who right. you're supposed to be looking for.
The other thing is there's the economy of scale there. I mean, you can get a keg of Bud Light for a ridiculous price. Like, I mean, It's been a while since
Been a while
since I, but I mean, like, when I last saw a price, it was like $70.
Yeah, I think I was going to say 60 something. I think it was
for a keg.
Yeah.
A craft beer keg, an honest to goodness craft beer keg. I'm not talking about someone who's trying to be light beer or anything like that. An honest to goodness craft beer keg costs you over $200 for the keg. Mm-hmm. Like, so there's no they aren't competing on the same scale.
Right.
Like, whether you can get Cincy Rains for $100 versus $70, I don't know. I don't know what that keg costs.
Yeah, there are some craft kegs around for around $100 that like people can put on to kind of start to try to play in that game. But it still is not the same thing.
It's not like if you put Bud on tap with your craft beers, you're not charging $7 a pint for that Bud. That's going to be a cheap-ass beer. So, yeah, of course people are going to drink that and not yours. You might be making fantastic beer, but you're not forcing people to experience yours. You're saying, hey, we have our stuff, which we'd love for you to try, but if you're not into that, we also have this thing that you know you already like. So why bother?
Right.
Yeah.
I also seen breweries that expanded a little too quick, and they all of a sudden they regretted it right away.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think there was a period in time where expanding as a brewery made a lot of sense, and going as fast as you can towards it made a lot of sense. And then all of a sudden, there was a screeching halt. And
shout out to Muller Brew Barn.
And
I wasn't going to put that name on there, but I think you knew.
I'll say it.
I think you knew who I was talking about.
And it was like, oh, we made and committed to a giant mistake, and then they just had to.
I'll never forget when I first talked to Nick Muller about them coming into Monroe. I said, oh, you guys will be fine as long as you don't just like change the paint and open up the tap room and have it look exactly the same as Rivertown was. If you put your own spin on it and kind of give it some personality, and the look that he gave me was, we're exploring lots of options. And I was like, oh, you're just gonna put a coat of paint on it, and you're gonna open the doors and just put your beer on tap. That's what they did, and it didn't last but a year.
Nope. Talked about Bockfest, which public service announcement for anyone listening, when Gnome says it's not that far. It's that far.
It's fine.
But the rain. But it's still that far.
It's always that far.
It's always that far. Northern Road did more poking than advertised.
They were poking all weekend.
Poking all weekend long.
I be poking.
There were a disappointingly low number of sausages.
Oh, this is
pet peeve.
So it was a
Bockfest.
Bockfest full of women, huh?
Not that kind of sausage, Marco. It's a sausage that comes on a bun with some mustard on it. And you eat it with sustenance.
But you had a good idea of having a sausage machine in Rheingeist.
Yes. Oh, let me tell you about this idea.
Oh, gosh.
I think when you walk into Rheingeist, there should be a vending machine, kind of like the pizza machine, but it should be a sausage machine. And I'm gonna try to describe this to you. So
the visuals
there's a touch screen, and you find your sausage. It could be a Metwurst, a Bratwurst, a Beerwurst. It could be even Currywurst.
Just say there
are
knobs.
I don't care.
Knobs.
No knobs. Nope. Okay. That's getting too crazy here.
Too tactile.
No, you got to use the touch screen.
Right.
You poke around and you start poking really hard, and you find, because you do have to poke really hard on the vending machine. It doesn't work very good. You poke really hard on the sausage that you want, and then there's a hole on the vending machine. I'm holding up my hand, and it's a hole, and it's just like big enough that your fingers won't touch, like this big, and a sausage goes right out the hole, and you can just like grab a bun, like a warm bun, gotta be warm, and you grab that sausage, pull it right out of the machine, squirt some mustard on it, and you're good to go. If you're afraid of touching the machine, you can just put your mouth right there. As the sausage comes out that hole,
because it's coming out slow enough to where you can handle it properly.
Yeah, you just
it's
put
not
your,
just gonna like shoot out and get, just
no. It's gotta go slow enough that you can and catch it in your mouth, and then you can just eat it that way too. That works.
Bockfest check-in rankings are bullshit. And
I disagree.
No,
I think that there were a whole lot of people tied for number one at that point. And so we got ranked kind of weird.
It's fine.
I'm a little disappointed in myself that I didn't go Sunday to get myself number one. better. I think I ended like 15 or something.
I did really like the app. I thought they did a great job on the Bach Fest app. The
app was great.
So if you're going down there next year, download the app. It was fantastic. And I learned that Synbev owns the Bach Fest trademark.
They do.
Did not know that.
Shout out to Synbev, by the way.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh,
man.
Yes. Everything that they're doing there is...
I was the first so tour phenomenal. On Saturday, too. And so Elliot just happened to be there because he was trying to make sure everything was ready for the rest of the tours throughout the day.
He's like, you're back.
He's like, you're back. And then, have you seen our sausage machine? No, we don't have one yet. But if anybody's going to invent one, it's going to be them.
It's going to be them, yes. That gorgeous
sausage and bacon
theirs.
And...
Oh, yeah.
And he, the tour guides said, oh, you know, we have a couple questions. Like, I'll walk with you guys. So I got another Elliot tour.
Nice.
It was fun.
Gnome, Julie, and I actually got a tour.
VIP tour.
Yeah.
VIP tour.
Before the last Kolsch night.
Yeah, before the last Kolsch night. So
amazing.
Echo and firsthand echo how just amazing that production facility is.
It's an incredible facility. Mm-hmm.
Not just from a production standpoint, they have it set up right. It is.
While still keeping a lot of the historical accuracies on.
Yeah, it still feels like an old brewery.
Right. Yes, this is where they would have been bottling in, you know, the 1800s and all that. I mean, and amazing.
Yes. And then they are working on a taproom phase, and then they, you know, tuck pointed the old Jackson Brewery face, and, you know, they have
on the smokestack.
Yeah, the
Good
work on the
Lord.
Smokestack. They are, look, to anybody who doesn't believe that this company is in it for the long haul, you're wrong. They are in it for the long haul. Mm-hmm. And that also means creating great beer and putting it out there and building this brand to be something that Cincinnati can be proud of. And I think Cincinnatians need to rally around that. Those brands.
Absolutely.
Those legacy brands. Please, please, please rally around those because the money that's getting put behind it, it's to keep those things alive.
Yeah.
It's to keep those brands alive.
Well, to tie what is happening now with beer with what was happening with beer, like they get that. They get that tie between the past and the present, and to try to find a way to kind of keep people connected to it. That's hard to do. Mm-hmm. That's there's been lots of places that have tried to take legacy brands and kind of bring them into the modern world, and some of them have done fine. But like the people that are walking around ordering Pabst right now have no respect for what Pabst is or what it was or the brand itself. It's become something else. And like This company gets it and gets that the history is a big part of what makes the brand what it's going to be in the future. And I respect that.
100%.
Yeah.
All right, mark it before you need to jet. That was all the notes that I have. I do have a sip count.
Ooh, okay.
All right.
But before we get to that, Blake, anyone else have any other notes on this episode of the Weekly Pint?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
All right. Caroline screwed you over.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't get a chance to drink the beer you wanted to drink.
Yeah.
So you only took two very sad, disappointing sips during this episode.
Wow. Seriously? I feel like I took more than that.
You started to take one near the end, and then you set it down because you couldn't find the button for the end music.
Yeah,
so
well, it's on the phone, yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing. So I didn't even do the math for that. Just two sips. Hopefully you got to enjoy the rest of your beer
afterwards.
I'm sure
Zach Hawley helped out with the sip counts if you could count it.
Yeah. Well, if he would just, like, put out a big thing and so, like, I could see him typing or something, maybe then I could sip while he was typing.
Hear all the questions,
I don't know.
All right. Well, before we close out,
I guess I have one more question.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if there was one legacy beer that they don't make right now, which one would it be for you that you'd want?
Burger. 100% burger. Right. Burger needs to come back. It needs to be... It should be different than Hootie. Burger should be kind of the next tier up from Hootie. You need some kind of like I don't want to call it premium kind of American light lager, but something that just is a little bit better than what Hootie is.
So does Samuel Adams own Shank Link or Hootie?
No, Synbev does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Gnome, Blake, thank you so very much for being here tonight.
This was a hell of a lot of fun.
Thank you, guys.
Blake, plug all your stuff. Where can people find you online, on YouTube, all that good stuff?
Okay, so it's a lot.
There's a lot. I was just going to say, yeah.
So there's the Brew Explorer's Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Then you have mine, that's Blake the Brew Explorer, and TikTok, Facebook, YouTube. Mm-hmm. I probably said Facebook already.
You're pretty much on Facebook for all the different things.
Yeah, but Instagram's the main source I use.
Okay.
TikTok, I'm still exploring. I still don't know what I'm doing with it. But
no one does.
There's some videos that gets a lot of views and some that gets hardly nothing.
Like nothing, All right, cool. And then just everyone keep an eye out for the Miami Valley Craft Beer Podcast. I think I'm getting that right every time, and that's absolutely astounding.
Mainly it's on Spotify and stuff like that. I don't think I've posted enough podcasts for it to go elsewhere yet. I'm going to figure this out.
Okay.
You'll get it, man.
All right, yeah, absolutely. Yep. Gnome, anything? People should already know where to follow you, but do you have anything that you want to plug?
TheGnarlyGnome.com for everything. Yeah, just go to TheGnarlyGnome.com. Everything is on there. Anything you want is somehow linked to there.
All right, sounds good. Marco?
No.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, everyone.
There we go.
Macho Man all night long. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening tonight. If you like what we did, subscribe, review, share, tell a friend. Do all the things you know you're supposed to do. If you like beer events in Cincinnati, follow our sister podcast, Cincy Beer Events. We go over about a month's worth of the upcoming beer events, such as paint nights and
goat yoga.
And goat yoga, because who doesn't want more of that? We are at Truth Beer Pod on all the social media platforms. Our website is truthbeerpod.com. That's where you can find out how to become a Patreon subscriber and get unedited or mostly unedited episodes of everything we put out. I cut out the silences because no one wants to sit around for 20 minutes without hearing anything.
Speak
except for
yourself.
Gnome. One of these days, although one of the, was it the last or the one before in Patreon land, I did leave like a several minute silence just for
that.
You. So maybe eventually there will be a completely unedited episode and you'll be going, why am I paying for this crap? Because it's funny. Sometimes.
All I want in my life is silence and calm.
All right. Well, everyone, thank you so very much. And what are you guys going to be doing next Tuesday?
Drink a beer.
I'm going to do this.
Hell yeah. Cheers.
I'm going to do this with you guys.
Cheers.
Cheers, everyone.
Macho, macho man.
Macho man.
I've got to be a macho man. I got to be a macho, macho man.